ask that you anoint my lips to faithfully proclaim your word. Help us to take in your message and grow thereby, for we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. A very dominating image in Christian art, seen in paintings, drawings, and stained glass windows, is that of God as the good shepherd of his people. This is not an accident of history that the image of God as the good shepherd is so prominent in religious art. Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known passage in all the Bible, and it is safe to say the most often memorized passage of Scripture, which speaks of the Lord being our good shepherd. The psalm is well known, but it needs to be viewed again in the light of the New Testament and what the Gospels say about the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd. We see in this passage how the Lord is our shepherd. First, we see the Lord is our shepherd and how he provides for his people. Psalm 23:1 states, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This statement points to the reality that God will provide us with everything that we need. We shall lack no good thing. What the Lord provides for us is detailed in the next two verses of this psalm. Psalm 23:2 says that the Lord makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the quiet waters. The shepherd gives his sheep the provision of water, food, and rest. Typically, a shepherd in this region of the Mideast would feed his flock of sheep with grass in the morning, and by early afternoon they would need water, so he would lead them to a quiet body of water, no strong current, and a body of water with shade to protect the sheep from the heat of the day. The Lord, as the good shepherd, has the resources, authority, power, and goodness to supply life's deepest needs. And so the Lord lovingly cares for his people. Psalm 23 goes on to say that the Lord restores my soul. This idiom refers to the physical renewal that the sheep experience once they get proper food, water, and rest. The spiritual application of this imagery is the Lord brings us back because we are in need of having our relationship with God restored. We are lost and we go astray because of our sins, and our tendency is to go away from God. But God, the Good Shepherd, goes after humanity who have wandered into the wilderness of our own sin and brings us home by his love and his mercy. He sets back in place and corrects what is lost. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says this about how God restores us spiritually. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. John 10, 14 and 15 say this, Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 34 that no mere human king in Israel would rescue God's people from captivity, but God himself would enter human history and rescue his sheep. Because the kings of Israel were unfaithful, God himself would be the shepherd. And so picking up on that theme, let us hear these words from John 10, verses 17 and 18. Jesus again speaking, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." Jesus in John 10 is making the claim that he is deity, that he is God. He is the good shepherd. He is the God who will save us from our worst enemies of sin and death by his laying down his life and his taking his own life up again. When Christ speaks of laying down his life only to take it up again, he is talking about his death and resurrection. Since God only has power over life and death, and Jesus makes this claim. He is obviously making the claim that he is God. And he did more than just talk about it. He actually did it. He died on the cross for our sins, and he proved that his death was for our sins by resurrecting on Easter Sunday, thus verifying his claims of deity through his actions. The Lord died on the cross, he bore our sins, he suffered in his body on the tree, and he died as our substitute. We deserve to be punished for our sins, but Christ bore the punishment for us that we most justly deserved. As the good shepherd, he did what no ruler could do. He died for the flock of sheep under his care. Christ overcame the enemies of sin and death, and by us trusting in him and his work for us, we are forgiven of our sins and included in God's family. So God the Son truly provides for all our needs. He provides us with his own spiritual life. He provides us with the water of life, and he restores our soul. Secondly, the Lord is our shepherd in his protection of his people. Psalm 23, verse 4 says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This psalmist is confident that even though his life is in danger, God himself is with us and he is present with us. Therefore, we need not fear. Psalm 23:4 speaks of both a rod and the staff of the shepherd, which was used by the shepherd, one for one purpose and another for another purpose. The rod of the shepherd is a heavy stick that the shepherd used to protect the sheep against predatory animals which sought to attack the sheep. The staff, on the other hand, of the shepherd was used by him to guide and direct his flock. The shepherd would come after the sheep who had wandered astray and bring him back to the fold. The paradox that the psalmist speaks of here is being secure even in the midst of danger. Let's think of how many times David, who wrote this psalm, how many times his life was in danger. For some time, King Saul sought to kill David and hunted him down with his army on many occasions. David's own son, Absalom, likewise, for a short period of time, overthrew his father and declared himself to be king, only later to be killed by one of David's soldiers. So David knew firsthand the reality of his life being in danger and having to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not knowing whether he would survive or not. He found comfort that God was with him and that the Lord would never forsake him. The Apostle Paul, likewise, after speaking of the redemption that we have through trusting in Christ, says this in Romans 8:38 and 39. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we have security in God's love, even in the midst of danger, that nothing, no created thing will be able to separate us from God's love. The Lord Jesus also speaks of the same spiritual security of his sheep in John 10, 27 through 30, where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The security spoken of here is that if we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he holds on to us and keeps us in his mercy, so that the gift of eternal life is preserved. Again, nothing shall separate us from his love. God the Son has us in his hand. God the Father has us in His hand, and no one can take us out of His hand. We will not remove ourselves from the Lord either, because we are His, and He watches over us in such a way that we continue to believe in Him and trust in Him for our salvation. Since both Christ as the Son of God and God the Father are almighty, we are spiritually secure. We're secure by God's unchangeable determination to save us, keep us, and deliver us from the penalty of sin and death, and bring us to our eternal home in heaven. Psalm 23:5 goes on and says this: You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. The imagery shifts to that of a banquet, a victory celebration back at the shepherd's house. The imagery of the cup running over speaks of the abundance of food and drink that's given at this banquet feast. Yet even at this banquet of celebration, there are those present at the table who are the psalmist's enemies. There were times in David's life in which he had traitors in his midst when he was fleeing from Saul. These traitors were with David, but were still loyal to Saul and reported of David's whereabouts to Saul. Think also of the Last Supper, Jesus with his 12 apostles, and yet Judas is among them. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This does remind us that we do not live in an ideal world, and that the consequences of Adam's sin fundamentally affect all of us. It affects our relationships with one another. It affects how we do business. It affects the level of our trust with one another. And our sinfulness also affects how we govern ourselves in our families, in the church, in the wider community, and in our nation. And so, despite all of this, David confidently trusts in the Lord who is with David, and not only with David, but with all his people. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He walks with us even as he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The psalm concludes with verse 6, which says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The words translated as God's loving kindness is also translated, could be translated as His mercy. The Hebrew word hesed means God's mercy, His loving kindness. It means God's covenantal faithfulness, God's trustworthiness to keep His promises to His people. And so God's promises are built on the sure and solid foundation of God's trustworthy character, that God is perfectly and eternally faithful to keep His promises. So the phrase, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," could be also translated, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord the length of days." We might ask the question, whose length of days? Our days or God's days? It seems the right answer to this question is both. For the length of our days in this life, God will be with us. Yet also, certainly all of God's people will dwell with God in this life, and God's goodness will follow us throughout this life, but it's also true that God's mercy will follow us all our days and throughout eternity. And God, whose days have no end, they're throughout God's days as well. And that's our comfort and hope, that God's loving kindness and mercy will be with us throughout this life and through the next. The Lord will be with us forevermore. And so the Lord is our shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death, as He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God is with us to give us everything we need, spiritually and physically, food, water, and rest, and even His mercy forevermore. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give You praise and thanks for loving us beyond measure, and for laying down your own life on the cross of Calvary, that we might have life in you. Help us to follow you and to respond to your voice given to us in your holy word. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen.